You may be asking why airlines don't just raise their fares instead of coming up with all those fees. NPR's Wade Goodwin has been asking that, too.
When you fly these days, it certainly doesn't seem like the airline industry is on the verge of collapse. Go to Terminal C at DFW Airport, and the place is packed on a Thursday afternoon.
Welcome to American Airlines Flight 1788, nonstop service to Raleigh-Durham. At this time, they're still cleaning our main cabin, but they are ready for the first-class cabin, rows 3 through 6. You're welcome to board.
The plane's full. The problem is the majority of these passengers are actually costing American Airlines money to fly them to North Carolina.
I don't think we've ever seen the kind of financial stress put on the industry, and I'm including the time after 9/11.
Dan Garten is the executive vice president in charge of marketing at American Airlines. The airline industry used to be a pretty glamorous place to work. These days, it's a marathon in the Mojave. One day, this last June, the price of oil shot up $11 a barrel in about an hour and a half.
For us, it's $80 million per dollar of oil increase. So that day, our costs went up by $880 million. And, you know, in some of Americans' old good years, our total profit would be $880 million. Now, we haven't had that kind of year for a long time.
Imagine being VP in charge of revenue and discovering one afternoon that you're going to need to bring in an extra $1 billion or so to break even. How'd your day go, darling? So here's the question. Why don't the airlines simply raise their airfares so that when an airplane full of paying passengers touches down on the runway, they've made money on the trip?
No, we can raise fares. But if we simply raise fares regardless of what our competitors do, then we find ourselves in a situation of being non-competitive, and I can virtually guarantee you the revenue result for us will be negative.
Here's the thing. The vast majority of Americans' competitors are in the same boat. Only Southwest Airlines is eking out a profit because of advantageous fuel hedges. The other airlines, United, Delta, Continental, US Air, the list goes on, all need to raise fares or they'll go bankrupt. It's as simple as that. Now, federal law prohibits the airline CEOs from colluding to set prices, but the logic and the math are inescapable. Airfares have to go up. So why not go ahead already and stop the bleeding? Dan Garten says they're worried all these full airplanes wouldn't be so full anymore.
It's a laboratory. I can tell you what happens to business demand. I can tell you what happens to leisure demand.
A decade of inexpensive oil and the internet have created this trap for the airlines. Dave Castlevetter with the Air Transport Association also partly blames you, the flying public. When you bring up a travel site on your laptop and click on the button that says list flights by lowest fare, you've done your part to bankrupt some poor foundering carrier.
You click the button that says the best price, the computer will give you just that, the schedule that has the best price. If one carrier's price is a dollar more, that carrier's schedules will not be seen by the customer.
You can see the problem. Airline executives would like to make a profit, but they're busy trying to stay on the first page of the search results. And that's why they've started charging to check luggage, to sit in an aisle seat, etc. Those ancillary fees don't affect your position on the page on Travelocity and Expedia's merciless list of flights by lowest fare. Here's another question. How much would the airlines have to raise their fares in order to make a profit? About 25%. So if a passenger is currently paying, say, $400 for a round-trip ticket, the industry needs that to go up to about $500 round-trip. That will be the discount fare. American Vice President Dan Garten says they're going to bring customers around to this unhappy reality slowly, or at least as slowly as they can, given the fact that they're losing $300 million every quarter.
We actually need them to understand the issues and to sort of accept it and in some ways help us. We need our customers to understand how important American Airlines is to them, air travel is to them, and that, you know, whether it's $15 for your first bag or whatever fee it is, you know, it's not really the big issue. The big issue is, am I going to be able to fly to Los Angeles?
So here's their plan. Over the next several months, the carriers are going to cut capacity and then raise fares. Then when the travel website tells you that it's going to cost $1,800 to take the family to see grandma and you angrily decide the airlines can go jump, Those seats you would have occupied aren't there anymore anyway. But the airlines would like you to remember that Grandma misses you terribly, and a phone call is just not the same. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Dallas.
If you're flying soon, you can put even more pressure on those troubled airlines. Just go to NPR.org to learn ways to find cheaper airfares. The governor of Texas has received a thumbs down from federal environmental officials after he asked for a cut in the amount of ethanol required in gasoline blends. Governor Rick Perry has claimed the federal mandate raises corn and fuel prices. The EPA didn't see it that way, as NPR's John Burnett reports.
Last spring, Texas Governor Rick Perry requested a temporary one-year waiver that would have cut the federal ethanol mandate in half. He said it would help ease, quote, the devastating impact of skyrocketing feed and food costs. Cattle feeders and poultry producers are complaining the cost of animal feed is going out of sight, while another side of the farm economy, corn growers, are saying if prices are rising, it's because of increased fuel costs. More than 70 GOP members of Congress, including Senator John McCain, had supported the ethanol waiver. EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson said after a thorough analysis, his agency concluded the ethanol mandate is doing more good than harm. Perry's office released a statement saying, for the EPA to assert that this federal mandate is not affecting food prices not only goes against common sense, but every American's grocery bill. Ross Wilson is CEO of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, whose members in Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico produce a third of the nation's fed cattle. He was likewise disappointed by Thursday's news.
We have seen corn prices go up more than 200%. Our members have been losing in 2008 some $100 to $200 per head.
As a result of the EPA's decision, the nation's fuel retailers will, as mandated, add 9 billion gallons of ethanol to gasoline this year and 11 billion gallons next year. John Burnett, NPR News.
Of course, some people have a choice when both airlines and gas seem to cost too much. Record numbers of travelers are taking the train. The Wall Street Journal says Amtrak is expected to carry 28 million passengers this fiscal year. That's a record. It comes just as Congress provides more money for the passenger service to take advantage of all those extra riders.
The railway doesn't have enough cars in stock to expand train capacity. It's not in position to add new trains either, and it needs big repairs to aging bridges, tracks, and tunnels. Just on the Northeast Corridor, the tracks that run from Washington to New York to Boston, Amtrak estimates that it needs to do nearly $5 billion worth of work. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Airlines say they're getting squeezed tighter than a passenger in a middle seat. They're pinched by high fuel costs on the one hand and demand for low airfares on the other. And that's why they're charging fees of all kinds to make an extra buck. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports on how they make you pay after you've paid for your ticket.
This pretty much says it all. Last week, U.S. Airways started charging $2 for soft drinks.
My uncles, he's all like, here, take all this food with you so you didn't have to pay for it on board, because then it's ridiculous how much they charge you.
College student Ana Robles said it's getting harder to travel on a budget. Charges for everything are going up. Changing a ticket, redeeming frequent flyer miles, all those fees increased. Northwest broke new ground when it started charging up to $35 extra for coach seats with a little extra legroom. And, of course, there's the new checked bag fees. American, Northwest, United, and U.S. Air all either charge or plan to charge $15 for the first checked bag. On Delta, your first bag is free, but the second will cost you $50. JetBlue said this week it will charge $7 for pillows and blankets. You do get to keep them. All that pocket change must add up, right? Sure, to the tune of several $100 million annually. But actually, it all goes towards fuel, says Airline Business Magazine editor David Field.
If you look at the estimates each airline makes of how much the fees will bring in, it's not that much, and it's not enough to get the airlines out of the very deep hole that they're in now.
Now, there are still deals. Alaska Air lets you check 3 bags free if you happen to be traveling within that state. Southwest Airlines is the lone holdout among large carriers without such a fee for bags. Southwest isn't shy about playing up this fact. In this ad, a man boards a plane only to find he needs to feed coin slots to use the overhead compartment. To lean back in his seat, and lower his tray table.
Tired of being nickeled and dimed by other airlines?
Is this your first flight?
We're not going to charge you for things that we already offer for free.
Southwest spokeswoman Ashley Rogers. They still give kids coloring books for free, she says. Her definition of in-flight entertainment is a bit of a stretch.
We think our flight attendants offer their own entertainment to the customers.
Oh, and Midwest Airlines still bakes cookies in the air for free.
You get two. Everyone gets two. So.
Did you get three?
Well, we try to frown upon that, but if people ask and there's some sort of compelling reason, I'm sure that we'd probably relent.
So that's the deal. You may be paying extra elsewhere, but if you're lucky, you get a free cookie. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.